For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening today. Go check out reallifepharmacology.com. You won't be disappointed. I've got a free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. It's a great little study guide. I throw in some of the most common clinical practice things you'll see. And if you are preparing for board exams and things like that, I also throw in a lot of top clinical pearls that you might often be tested on. So definitely go check that out. Get it for free just for subscribing to the podcast. We'll get you emails when we've got a new podcast available and all that sort of stuff. So again, reallifepharmacology.com. Go find that free PDF on the top 200 drugs. Again, 31 pages. So can't miss it. With that, let's get into the drug of the day today. Amitriptyline. Brand name of this medication is Elavil. It is an older antidepressant. More specifically, it's a tricyclic antidepressant. Mechanistically, what tricyclics do is they inhibit the reuptake of serotonin and norepinephrine. So obviously, we've heard serotonin in the past, talking about SSRIs and things like that. So you could imagine if we're increasing serotonin in the brain that it's going to help for depression. And ultimately, a drug like amitriptyline, when it first came out many, many years ago, it was used for depression prior to the advent of the SSRIs. So from a technical standpoint, it is classified as an antidepressant. Very rarely now see it used for straight depression, okay? It just doesn't happen very often, and we'll go through kind of the adverse effect profile and why that's true, but you really don't see it used hardly ever for straight depression. Most often, what I've seen amitriptyline used for are various types of pain syndromes, because remember that serotonin and norepinephrine effect, we might have some impacts on pain. So a condition like fibromyalgia, neuropathy, also headache prevention with migraines and tension headaches. So that's definitely, I would say, the most common situation I see a drug used, I see amitriptyline used for. You also want to remember your patient population with this drug. It's highly anticholinergic, so it's going to cause problems in our elderly patients, okay? So fibromyalgia, you know, generally something that occurs in younger patients sometimes, so they might be able to tolerate a drug like amitriptyline a little bit better. Again, it's all going to be kind of dose-dependent too. The higher you escalate those doses, the more and more you're going to run into adverse effects, of course, there. A couple other of maybe rare situations or conditions that I've seen amitriptyline used for, excessive salivation and possibly some irritable bowel syndrome, GI pain issues as well. So again, but by and large, most often I've seen it used for various pain syndromes compared to depression, which is originally what it was marketed for. So let's talk about those side effects a little bit. Anticholinergic, so we're talking dry eyes, dry mouth, constipation, urinary retention, really bothersome, annoying symptoms that are not going to make our patients happy, likely. Okay, and this generally tends to get worse as we get older. In addition to those, we've got to think about fall risk in our elderly patients, confusion. So if you see a patient that has dementia and they start a new dementia medication, you got to go back, look at that medication list, and make sure they aren't on a tricyclic antidepressant like amitriptyline. Of course, they are sedative. Going back to indications, on rare occasions, I have seen amitriptyline used for insomnia. That's definitely not something that I really like to see, because I do feel like we have some other agents, as well as non-drug interventions, of course, that are generally a lot safer than amitriptyline would be if we're using it just for insomnia. But from an adverse effect profile standpoint, amitriptyline certainly is sedating. So you got to warn our patients of that with, you know, driving and operating machinery and all sorts of stuff like that. So again, pay attention to that for sure. Rarely, anticholinergics, especially as we escalate doses, can make patients more susceptible for hyperthermia, so elevated body temp or lack of basically heat tolerance. Usually not a big deal in my neck of the woods, where it's generally a little bit cooler, but keep that in mind on really hot days during the summer, or if you live in, you know, tropical southern areas, that might be more of an issue. Cardiovascular risk, I did also want to mention, usually as we escalate doses, that can come into play potentially, where a patient may, amitriptyline may put them at higher risk for cardiovascular, negative cardiovascular outcomes. And I would say specifically in the situation of overdose, that can really cause some serious cardiac changes. And that is a really, really big concern and is certainly one of the reasons why they have fallen out of favor in the management of depression compared to SSRIs, amongst other reasons, of course. All right, so let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we'll wrap up with some of the most common drug interactions you're going to see. If you're in the market for any pharmacist board certification study material, definitely go check out meded101.com. If you've been out in practice for a little while and looking to do an exam like BCPS or the geriatric certification or MTM certification, ambulatory care, meded101.com/store has a list of great resources there that we've put together to help you pass those exams. In addition, if you're a student, we've got NAPLEX content, so go check that out as well. Same link, meded101.com/store. And if you're a nurse, nurse practitioner, med student, physician, we've got definitely books on Amazon, case studies, drug interactions, things that will help you be a better clinician and or healthcare professional. So go check those out. Support the sponsor. This obviously helps keep the podcast free for all to enjoy and benefit from. So again, all those links, meded101.com/store. All right, wrapping up with drug interactions. So what I mentioned, the downside with cardiovascular risk in overdose, TCAs and amitriptyline tend to have quite a few more drug interactions, and a lot of those interactions are kind of cumulative and or opposing effects. So a perfect example to start off with is the acetylcholinesterase inhibitors like donepezil. Amitriptyline can blunt those effects. So with donepezil, we're trying to help patients' symptoms of dementia. Well, amitriptyline can block it and cause more confusion. So definitely a big downside there. Anticholinergic burden. So thinking about the additive effects of dry eyes, mouth, constipation, worsening, you know, BPH symptoms with urinary retention, for example, amitriptyline can contribute to that anticholinergic. So you've got to think about other meds the patient is taking. Maybe they're on a hydroxyzine for anxiety. Maybe they like to take Benadryl for their allergy symptoms. That's going to have a cumulative type effect with amitriptyline and certainly be a negative for sure. CNS depressant effect, Amitriptyline is sedating, so of course taking it with other sedating medications could potentially lead you to an excessive sedation type problem. CYP2D6 inhibitors that can increase the effects of amitriptyline, so that's important to remember there. QT prolongation, cardiovascular risk, we've got to think about that with amitriptyline, and again, usually as those doses escalate or the patient is on other medications that can cause that issue, like amiodarone, quinolones, antipsychotics, that can cause drug interactions and a cumulative type effect of prolonging the QT interval. And then lastly, I wanted to mention serotonin syndrome. So these drugs like amitriptyline are going to increase serotonin in the brain potentially. And if the patient's taking other medications that could do that, your tramadols, your SSRIs, that can potentially lead to some big risks there. Lastly, I did want to mention MAOIs. They aren't used hardly ever in clinical practice, but it is a contraindication certainly to use those with amitriptyline. All right, so I think that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. I hope you found this beneficial. If you enjoyed the show, leave a rating review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. That's greatly appreciated by me. So definitely go take the time to do that. And of course, share us with friends, colleagues, students that may be working with you, anyone that could benefit from pharmacology education. It's a great free resource for anybody to benefit from, certainly. If you want to reach out to me, Eric Christensen, you can find me on LinkedIn, or you can track me down, mededucation101@gmail.com. Again, take advantage of that free resource at reallifepharmacology.com, a free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. And I am going to sign off for today. And thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.